Good morning. Today's Daf and Yavam and Sadi Beis. We're in Sadi Alpha Amud Beis. We are towards the top of the Amud, continuing in a extraordinarily sensitive and important topic regarding a woman who heard reports that her husband has died. This has been the topic here of the 10th parak of the Masechta. A woman whose husband went away, did not return, and now reports are coming back that unfortunately, Rechmanis, he passed away. So is she allowed to remarry? So obviously an all too important and extraordinarily delicate issue. And but we're going to be discussing it just from the standpoint of the Gemara. Up until now, we've been talking about Eid Echad. Since the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah Peizayin primarily has been focused on what if there's one witness who came back and reported. Under normal circumstances, one witness is not enough to create a reality. In order to change any status, this is a married woman. To make her from a married woman to a single woman, so you need two kosher witnesses. That's under normal circumstances. So, but over here, there is a serious counter pressure, and that is that if we don't relax the rules, she's going to be naguna. She'll be stuck in this position for an indefinite period of time, and it's a really trying situation. So there is a relaxation of the rule. So quite remarkably, as we've discussed now since the beginning of this parak, what we'll allow her to do is we'll allow her to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. Normally, one witness is not believed. There is one place in the Torah where a witness is believed. One witness is believed, and there is also a one witness also can require shvua. But this is let's just say it simply. This is something that is not normal in halacha. It's an unusual maneuver in halacha in which we're going to allow her to remarry based on the testimony of one witness. And even if that one witness is not a kosher aid, and even if it's hearsay, NBP aid, nevertheless, they're going to allow her to remarry. But at risk. In other words, buyer beware. In this case, this woman needs to be extraordinarily cautious about her next move, because if in fact she relies on this one witness and she remarries and her husband returns home, and the reports were not good reports, so then there are going to be consequences. 16 consequences in total, like we discussed in the first Mishnah, and that's all if it was the information was given to her al pi Eid Echad. Okay, yesterday's daf, we turned our attention to Shnayim. What if the two witnesses who came in and told her that her husband died? Now, two witnesses is valid, meaning that is normally in halacha what is considered a acceptable testimony. And so over here, she heard it from two witnesses, right? And to quote the Gemara, the line of the Gemara that we saw yesterday, what else is she supposed to do? Or if I may, right? Back on Sadi Aleph Amid Aleph. So, my havele lema'aved, mi'anes ansa. Well, what else is she supposed to do? Meaning, if her husband came back, but she got it from two witnesses, and two witnesses in halacha is what establishes a fact and changes a status. So what else was she supposed to do if, in fact, she heard it from two witnesses? But as the case evolves and develops, so what happens is she heard from two witnesses that her husband died, and then, after remarrying, then her husband comes back again. So what then becomes? So the Mishnah says that she can go back to her original husband. That's the Mishnah. And Rav says that's the halacha. Now, when the Mishnah presents it as this is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that she can go back to her original husband. Because this is the case of Ones, meaning it's two witnesses. And she, all she did was just simply do what the Beis Din, well, not the Beis Din, but do what the Edom had told her was acceptable. So what else was she supposed to do? Now, yesterday we just finished off the discussion where Rav Paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Rav Paskin like Rabbi Shimon, and Rav got a lot of pushback for Paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So number one, why not just simply say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? Okay. In other words, you have to say B'Shem Omer. That was one piece of criticism that Rav received. But the harsher criticism that Rav received is coming from Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes says makes it sound like there's an argument on the issue. Is there an argument on the issue? And the Gemara concluded there very well may be an argument on this issue, meaning it may be that the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim are of the opinion that even if it's two witnesses who said that her husband died, and then she remarried and her husband came back, So maybe the Chachamim argued with Rabbi Shimon. So yesterday, we just finished off with that discussion of there may be another Shita. There may be the Chachamim arguing with Rabbi Shimon. And then it becomes difficult, meaning I have now my chlokes between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon. So who's to say the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? So hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to come back to that. Okay, the Gemara's discussion is going to end awkwardly. Okay, that's spoiler alert. They're coming up in just a few minutes from now. But meanwhile, however, the Gemara is going to deal with the larger question, which the Gemara articulated. I went over just a couple of minutes ago, but let's review. Meaning, if two witnesses said that her husband died, like malasos, meaning what else was she supposed to do? Meaning, at this point in time, yes, she married, we'll put that in quotes. Yes, she married another man and she slept with another man, but she's an ones, meaning what else was she supposed to do? So that was the larger question that the Gemara asked yesterday, and that was Rav's argument, so to say, and Rav Shesh should bolster that argument that, of course, she can go back to her original husband when her husband shows up. It was Shaim. It was to aid them. Good. So that was the question that the Gemara asked, and now we are going to we're going to address this very question. What else was she supposed to do? We're not going to address it directly. We're addressing it indirectly, but still, we're addressing that larger question. Mesiv Ula. So in the Gemara, we're on Sadi Aleph Amud Beis, and we are about 5-6 lines from the top of the Amud. So Ulav now is going to challenge me. Amrina my Havelela Ma'avid. Meaning, is this really a fair argument? Again, it sounds like a fair argument, but the Gemara is going to challenge it, and there are going to be a number of challenges to this argument. Okay, the larger point that the Gemara is going to make is that there needs to be on her behalf, even with two witnesses, there needs to be more care taken by on her part. And there is a level, and I've got to be careful of how I say this, and I'm walking and speaking carefully. But there is a level on her part of her responsibility in all this. A level. So the Gemara says, Va'atanan. Well, let's consider a number of cases. The Gemara is going to go through about a half dozen different cases. So let's say, for example, Kasav L'Shem Achus Sheinah Hogenes. L'Shem Achus Madai, L'Shem Achus Yavan. Let's say the get gets dated and the dating of the get is based on an incorrect dating system. Okay, either based on the beginning of the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Madai Empire. Okay, those are all incorrect ways to date the get. How is the get going to be dated? Based on the current governing body, whoever is a local government. Okay, when we get to get, and we'll do this in much greater detail. Anyway, the point over here is that the get needs to be dated. That is critical for a get, and has to be dated properly. Improper dating of the get is going to render the get disqualified. So Lebinyan Abayas, Lechorban Abayas, dated going back to either the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, oddly and interestingly, those are all incorrect ways to date the get. Okay, again, you date the get based on the current government, meaning, right, we don't have a king now, but we have something similar. So this would be the, what year is it of our current president? I forget. Okay. I know. right. What happened? We all of a sudden everyone became so polarized. So anyway, but that's how you have to properly date the get. Parenthetically, by the way, we don't do that nowadays. Meaning, unfortunately, I've been in a number of gittin and I'm asked to be a witness or be a part of the beis din, whatever the case is. And bizmanin nowadays, that's not what we do. We date it back to Bria Sa'olam. Okay. Things have changed over the course of time. Anyway, let's just keep everything nice and simple. You have to date the get properly. Good. So, Haya ben Mizrach v'kasa ben Mara v'kasa ben Mizrach. I'm sorry. Haya, let me read it correctly. Haya ben Mizrach v'kasa ben Mara. Ben Mara v'kasa ben Mizrach. Or let's say you wrote the wrong location. Tosfos over here goes about exactly who's being misplaced. Is it the witness is being placed? The place where the get is being written? Okay, couple of pshatim regardless. The get was written incorrectly. That's the basic point of the Gemara. Either dated incorrectly or placed incorrectly. So, and then what does she do with this get? She goes and gets remarried with this get. So it's an improper get. The get's disqualified. She's a married woman. And then she goes and she is, quote unquote, marries another man. So here we go with a quasi-adultery, similar to our Mishnah, to quasi-adultery. So now what's the halacha? The halacha is all 16 ramifications that we saw in our Mishnah, is going to be applicable in such a case as well. V'amai, so the Gemara now asks a simple question. Le'mama havale le'ma'evid. So, okay, fine. She went to a basin. The basin wrote the get. Okay, and what was she supposed to do? Meaning, it wasn't dated properly. Okay, basin, please do me a favor. You take care of it. Meaning, right, I expected you to do it correctly. What was I supposed to do? So he buy the crew, the Gita. So the Gemara says that what should have happened is that the get should have been written in front of, should have been written and read in front of her. And in other words, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that that Mishnah and Gittin that we just learned together, that assigns a level of culpability to her, is because in Achinami, she needed to be more careful. Amrev Shimi Barashi Tashma, let's do another one, right? All these Mishnahs that we're going to be learning together is all pointing to the same direction. And that is that there is a certain level of responsibility and culpability that the woman has to bear. Hakonis is a vimta vahachat saras v'niseis. V'nim says zu island is. So let's say the Yavama is taken by one of the surviving brothers. And now the co-wives are saying, okay, good. Okay, in other words, Zika's over. We're free to marry whoever we want, and that's what they did. V'nim says zu island is. It turns out now that the Yavama was an islandist. So once again, we've now entered into this quasi adultery, where these women were connected, they were bonded, they had a zika, and they thought the zika was lifted, but it wasn't, because it turns out that the yavama who did the mitzvah was actually an islandist, which means then that for her there was no mitzvah. It means that the zika was still on them. Okay, so and once again, now that they were with another man, married another man. So go back to our Mishnah, the first Mishnah of the 10th parak of Yevamos, and go to those 16 ramifications that are applicable. They're all in force. And my name of my Havilela Ma'aved. Once again, let's ask the question. Well, in other words, what were they supposed to do? Meaning, they thought the Zika was over for good reason. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, no, what they should have done is they should have waited. Okay, now this line of the Gemara admittedly is challenging. Wait till when? Meaning wait until they have a child? How long is that? How long are they expected to wait? Okay, so again, I'm doing the short version of the Gemara over here. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim already in terms of why would we ever suspect that this woman was an islandist? Maybe we're talking about a case over here where there were secondary characteristics that pointed in that direction. Maybe that's what the Gemara is discussing over here. Anyway, I'm just going to stick with the larger point of the Gemara, and that is that she shares that some of the responsibility. Amar Rabbi Tashma, we're doing another Mishnah. So let's say you have an Erva as one of the co-wives, meaning it's the first Mishnah of our Masechta. So what do we know? We know that once one of the co-wives is an Erva, so they're all going to be exempted. And now, so all the co-wives say, okay, again, free to marry whoever we want, because one of our co-wives is a erva to the Avam. First mission of our Masechta. And then, again, what happened was, is that discovery. And discovery was, is that that woman who was an erva was also an islandist, which means now that she's taken out of the equation. The erva's taken out of the equation. Now what? Now all the co-wives are chayiv in the mitzvah of Yibam, meaning they have a zika. They are Yavama Lashuk. So now, again, once again, now it falls under this category of quasi-adultery, and quasi-adultery results in all the ramifications of our Mishnah. And my name of my Havalele Ma'avidi by Lelam Tune. And again, the Gemara says, because what they should have done is they should have waited to see what's going to happen with this, with their co-wife, if in fact she was or she was not an islandist. Again, we can ask the same question. How long are we talking about in terms of waiting? Meaning, right, she's not even married to a man now. We have to wait until she gets married and then see if she can have a child. Anyway, again, the larger point of the Gemara is that there is a shared responsibility even on the part of the woman. Amrava Toshma, we're not done yet. Here comes another one. So Kasav Sofer Get Liish V'Shover Liisha. So the Sofer there is now writing up the get. Now he's writing up two documents. He's writing up the get for the man. He's writing a receipt for the woman. And what's going to happen is that they're going to swap. In other words, he'll give her the get and she'll give him the receipt. And Vatav and Asen Get Liish V'Shover Liish. And after folding up the document, the Sofer, he made a mistake. And he gave the get to the woman and he gave the Shover to the man. So when the man issued this document to the woman, so what did he issue? He issued a receipt. Nothing. Meaning, they're not divorced. So she thought she was divorced, but because of a clerical error, so she's not divorced. Once again, she's going to have to go through all the consequences, 16 consequences of our Mishnah. And so once again, the expectation is that she needs to be there and the get has to be read to her. Okay. This I can attest to, that at a get. So the get is opened up and the get is read. Okay. So, Amar Avashi Tashma. Shina Shma Vishma, Shemira Vishemira, Tetsimizem, Mizevichol, Drachem Eloba. Let's say, Sofer got the name wrong, got the city wrong. So once again, the get now is considered invalid. And if the get is being issued, she's not a divorced woman. And so, and what? All the consequences of our Mishnah. V'amai, at this point in time, everyone here knows the refrain. So V'amai, name amai, havele ma'avidi, by lele kurle gita. Once again, the get has to be read in front of her. And if there's a mistake, she needs to pick up on that mistake. Am Ravina Tashma. Let's do one more. Okay, how many were there in total? Yeah, I could do this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our fifth Mishnah in Gittin, which again speaks to this idea that there is a responsibility that she has to ensure that that everything is being done correctly. What if she got divorced with a bald get? Okay, so what I'm not going to do right now is I'm not going to explain a bald get. A Kohen gives a bald get. When we get to Gittin, I'll explain it much better. Okay, just right now for consideration of time, we'll leave it at a Kohen writes for his wife a bald get. I know that sounds funny, but that's the halacha. It's not a bald get, meaning it's a folded get. It's a get mekushar. And then what happens is that on all the folds, you need to have signatures on every fold. And over here, one of the folds is missing a signature. So that's what's called a get kereach. And under those circumstances, the get now is going to be puzzle. And once again, question becomes when the woman receives it, it's not a get. It's a disqualified get. And again, at this point in time, we all know, Ibai Leila Kruli Gita. And the Gemara at this point in time doesn't even bother going through the Q&A, meaning we all know. In other words, the expectation is that you open the gate, you read in front of the woman, and so once again, she has a responsibility. So, what comes out now from five different Mishnayos in Gittin is that they're, yes, it's the basin's in charge and the basin's responsible, but she too, she's also responsible, and if she does not ensure that the get is a good get, and she remarries based on that, so she's going to be going through the consequences of our Mishnah. And so now, let's put this back to our discussion. Two witnesses came and said that her husband died. Two witnesses, that's a big deal. Meaning at that point in time now, this is not a special dispensation that's issued. This is just simply two witnesses. It's how halacha works. And she goes and remarries based on that. So again, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says that if her husband comes back, she goes back to her husband. That's Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. Rav says the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. And now, after a lengthy discussion, finishing up yesterday's daf, what we come to realize is it's not that simple. Meaning that, yes, it's true. Two witnesses does validate and allows her to remarry. At the same time, however, is her husband really dead? Meaning, does she know? So, and is she responsible to ascertain it as best as she can? So what it would sound like from the Gemara that we just did together is, yeah, there's a certain level of responsibility that she needs to have in order to make fully sure that her husband died, even though two witnesses reported it. Okay.
You could compare those five cases to the two witnesses. It's mind-boggling.
Okay.
You could check the get, at least on all those cases, you could check.
Right.
There's a problem. Here, what are you going to do? You have two witnesses telling you your husband's dead.
Right. Right. So, I mean, Danny, I hear you. My only response right now is that here too, she should check. But I understand it's much more onerous, you know, correct. I agree. The get is right here. And it's just not a question of opening and reading it. And Danny, I hear you. Okay. So so Ibai Lelikur Legita. So Rapapa Savala Mevet Uvda, Bemaihavalela Mavet. So Rav Papa, at one point in time, right across his desk in his office, so he had this scenario. Again, a quasi-adultery scenario like we just described, right? Let's assume that the Rav Papa scenario over here is that, and Rashi says it, I don't have to assume it. Rashi says that she got remarried based on Edom. witnesses said that her husband died. She got remarried, and then her husband appeared. And so her papa thought, okay, I know the halacha, meaning I know the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, api shnayim, api edim. She can go back to her original husband. And bolstered by the argument that my havale lamavid. But now, what's gnawing at Rav Papa is, we just learned five Mishnayos in Gittin. And those five Mishnayos in Gittin seem to indicate, my havale lamavid is not enough of an excuse. At least in all those cases in Gittin. So, Amar le Rav Huna Bered, Rav Yishol, Rav Papa Vatan, you call Hani Masnaisa. And so, not only was it gnawing at Rav Papa, but Rav Huna was gnawing at Rav Papa. And Rav Huna says, what about all those Mishnayos in Gittin that we just did? So Amar Lei V'Lav Shaninu. So he says, okay, but like Danny just said, yeah, but over there we gave good explanations of what else she should have done. Are we going to do that over here as well? Amar Lei V'Ashnu Yaleiku V'Lismach. So Rav Huna says, good, you gave answers. In other words, in the base measure, it's easy to give answers. But in other words, when push comes to shove and halach lamaisa, you're really going to rely on all those answers? So, now, the next word of the Gemara, okay, it's a biggie. In that, it's in parentheses, and meanwhile, that next word is upasak, right? It looks like from Rashi, Rashi had the word, right? Rashi writes, second to last line, v'nimna v'lo avaduvda, meaning, okay, so in other words, so, he didn't allow her, meaning that this is the way Rashi seems to end the discussion, he didn't allow her to return back to her original husband. Meaning that despite the fact that Rabbi Shimon says that you're allowed to, and Rav Paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but Rav Papa had a reluctance because of all those Mishnayos and Gittin. And yes, it's true. We just explained, you know, what, in other words, why it is that all in those Mishnayos and Gittin, she does have a responsibility because open up the get and read in front of her. But when push came to shove, Rav Papa, was not sure whether or not there is a fair distinction to be made between the cases of Gittin and our case over here. Okay. Obviously, we just finished off a sugya, and the Gemara ended off. I told you this was going to happen, but here it is. The Gemara ends off awkwardly, meaning the halacha is that our Mishnah tells us that she can go back to her husband if, in fact, the report came from two witnesses, and that's how Rav Paskin. But Rav Papa ends off being uncertain, unsure. Okay.
Rabbi, in all those cases that she had, like in cases in Gittin, they should bring the chatat also.
It's a great question. We're getting there. Coming up on cue. Oh, almost on cue. One or two more minutes and we're going to get to the carbon. Okay. Amar Rav Ashi. Ulekala lo cheshinan. Okay. Quick discussion here in the Gemara regarding rumors that are circulating. Right. The Rashi. Im nises bebeisdin. Last Rashi in Armud. Im nises bebeisdin. Okay, so what happened was reporting came back that her husband died. Now, it sounds like from the Rashi over here that it's one witness. Why do I say that? Because Nisei's Bebezdin. So already this terminology we're familiar with. This is now our fifth day here in the 10th Perek. So what Bebezdin, generally speaking, means that I need a special dispensation, meaning I don't have two witnesses, it's one witness. That's what it sounds like. Okay, anyway, but the point is that one witness came, reported that her husband died, and she remarried. And now, okay, this is tension-filled, right? It's tremendously stressful. All of a sudden, rumors start coming in that her husband did not die. Rumors. So what do we do about rumors? Now, there is a discussion. We've had a couple of them here in Yavamos not so long ago. Well, pretty long ago, we had a discussion about rumors, and every time we talk about rumors, so you've heard me say this before, I'll say it again. So myself and no one else should be spreading those rumors. Meaning, spreading rumors is what's called lashon hara. So the best thing to do is not to hear them and not to share them with others. That's okay. That was tikkun amidos for today, right? Just to make sure that we're all on the same page. But halacha does not ignore rumor, meaning if there's a rumor out there, so halacha takes it into consideration, despite the fact that nobody should be sharing the rumor, but halacha takes into consideration. The question over here is, in this particular case, what does halacha say regarding a rumor? So, that's a Gemara's discussion over here. So, Amar Rav Ashi l'kala lo cheshinan haikala. So, I'm sorry, Rav Ashi makes it as a statement. L'kala lo cheshinan, meaning here, we pay no attention to a rumor, meaning Once the Beis Din issued a ruling that allowed her to remarry based on the testimony of one witness, that's it. Meaning, obviously, if he comes back, so then there we have what to talk about. But if he doesn't come back and it's just rumors, we ignore them. Hi, Kala, the Gemara says, Ile Makala de Basin Yisuin. So the Gemara says, now, over here, what are we talking about? After she got married? Hamar Avashi, Chadazimna, Damar Avashi, Kokala de Basin Yisuin, Lachayshinan. So the Gemara says, you know, after she gets married, we already knew this. Meaning, once she gets married, based on the Psak of Beis Din, so obviously we don't listen to rumors, meaning that's something that we knew already. So Mao Dete Mahova Asala Beidina Visharinan Kekala de Kamin Nisuan Dami Vititsa Kamashmalan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but maybe over here I would have thought differently. Maybe over here there was a requirement for her to go to Beis Din and get a special issue in order to remarry based on the Psak of Beis Din. Maybe over here we would consider it as a rumor that started before she got married. Okay, perhaps. That's the Havamina. The Gemara says, no, Lamaskana no. Meaning any rumor that starts swirling after she gets married, that we ignore. Okay, Adkan. Okay, a quick discussion regarding what do we do with rumors. It's fair to ask, I don't know the answer, or what about those rumors that started before she got married? What do we do with those rumors? The Gemara does not discuss, it seems like it's a very fair question to ask. Okay. Nisus api based in Tetze. Okay. Hedy queued us up, and so let's go back and let's talk now about her carbon liability. Okay, what do we know? So we know that anytime that somebody violates a chiyuv kares, but he does so b'shogeg, or she does so b'shogeg, so you bring a carbon chatas. Good. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Everyone take a turn back to our Mishnah now. Pei Zion, right? 5 short days ago in the Daf, and the Mishnah back on Pei Zion taught us what about this woman and her carbon liability. So let's see at the tail end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Im nisei shelo b'rishus mutaros lachzer lo." So if she got married based on the testimony of two witnesses, so she can go back to her original husband. Okay, so we just at the beginning of today's daf, right? The last 20 minutes more. So we just got done discussing that was the ruling of Rabbi Shimon. Do we pass in that la halacha? Okay, we just finished that in our Gemara. Then the next line of the Mishnah, nisei shelo b'rishus mutaros lachzer lo karban. Let's say she gets married based on Beis Din. So, Tetze, meaning she got married based on Beis Din, meaning it was one aid. So, Tetze, so what she has to do now is that she has to leave her husband, as we already concluded in the beginning of the Mishnah, upiturim in a carbon. And she does not need to bring a carbon under those circumstances. Why? Because she's an individual who acted based on her ra'as Beis Din. That was the psak of Beis Din. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. Now, lo nisesapi Beis Din. So let's say she didn't get married based on Beis Din, meaning she didn't need Beis Din, meaning there was two witnesses. And now she got married based on two witnesses, Tetze, v'chayeves b'karban. And now under those circumstances, she's going to be required to bring a karban because her marriage was not based on a hora'ah, her marriage was based on a mistake. Okay? A perfectly understandable mistake. Two witnesses said that she, that her husband died. Okay, so effectively, she unknowingly slept with another man. Unknowingly, meaning she thought that she was allowed to sleep with another man because two witnesses said she could. And meanwhile, her husband came back. So as far as here, there is a carbon liability. She has a requirement to bring a carbon chatos. Okay, so what we just learned together is that if her marriage, I have to stop calling it a marriage because it gets confusing. If her being with another man was the result of Hora's Beis Din, no carbon requirement. If her being with another man is not a result of Hora's Beis Din, there is a carbon requirement.
You mean there's two
Eidim? Not even specifically when there are two Eidim. In fact, Alan, your point is so good, that's exactly how the Mishnah commented and ended. If you go back to the Mishnah, you look at the end of the Mishnah actually makes your comment. So the Mishnah says, Yafe Koch Beis Din Shepotrim and a carbon. Right, the Koach Beis Din is so strong it exempts her, excuses her from a carbon, okay? Which is surprising, and that's why the Mishnah made the comment. Okay, very good. So Amar Ziri. So now to understand this just a little bit better before we start with the Gemara. So let's say like this as a brief introduction. Okay, Beis Din Paskins, and you follow Beis Din's Pesach. If we are doing so as a community, so then there's a special carbon that you need to bring. It's called Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. Okay? The Gemara in Horios discusses this at length. I mean, I say at length. It's not a long Masechta. But a good bulk of that Masechta is dedicated to that special carbon. There was a Horaz Beis Din. Beis Din came up with a Pesach. It was erroneous. It was an incorrect Pesach, but they came up with a Pesach. And now we follow the Pesach. And under those circumstances, you gotta, we, the community, now need to bring a special carbon chatas. It's called the par. Par helm davar shel tzibur. Okay, in the Torah, it's in Vayikra Perek Dalet. Okay, fine. If, let's say, Beis Din has an erroneous psak. Now, first of all, Beis Din's fallible. Okay? It's not, that's not a controversial statement to make. That's called psukim in the Torah. Okay? They can make mistakes. Okay? They're human, they can make mistakes. Yes, they have siyata d'shmaya and they have certain guidances, but, divine guidances, but at the same time, however, they're prone to error. Human error. So let's say, I know this is going to sound funny, but let's say Beis Din issued a psak, chalef, the forbidden fats of an animal, it's mutter. Oh, really? It's great. Everyone runs to the store, right? It buys up all the tallow in the store, right? And fries their french fries in tallow. Okay? So because Beis Din issued a psak. So if the majority of the Jewish people did that, and oh, by the way, it has to be the majority of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. Again, that's all the Horios discussion, which we don't need to know right now. But you have to know the basic idea. So then there's a special carbon that we need to bring. This is what's called Parhelm Davar Shel Tzibur. However, if an individual, or by individual, I just simply mean anything less than the majority. Let's, for our purposes right now, we're saying individual. If an individual followed the Pesach of Beis Din, so then there's no carbon requirement. Okay? It's not considered a shogeg. It's considered a shogeg when the mistake is on me. I made the mistake. But if Beis Din issued a Pesach, and I'm following the Pesach of Beis Din, and I'm not a majority, I'm not a Tzibur, so then there's no carbon requirement. Those are the rules. Okay, that's the basics. And so over here, the discussion, it's a fascinating discussion. And that is, what are we looking at over here when Beis Din told her you can remarry? Is that a Hora'a, or is that not a Hora'a? Our Mishnah is very clear. Our Mishnah says that's a Hora'a. One witness comes, said that her husband died. Beis Din now issues a psak that she can remarry. That's called a hora. Therefore, our Mishnah is of the position that in the event that her husband comes back and she slept with another man, that she does not bring a carbon. That's our Mishnah. Okay, so now, on that. Amar Ziri, So, Ziri says, you know, we don't hold like our Mishnah. Why? Because of the following. Following Brisa, Dini Beit Midrash, they had the Brisa and the Beit Midrash. And Horu Beis Din Shashaka Chamalavasov Zarch Einzu Hara Latos. So let's say Beis Din said Shabbos is over. Okay? A ruling by Beis Din, Shabbos is over. Why? Because the sun set. Meanwhile, we just had this yesterday. The sun didn't set. It was a massive storm. Right? And it looked like the sun set, but not the case. So Ulasov Zarcha. And then the clouds scatter, and all of a sudden the sun comes out as you're driving home. Ein zahara latos. So that's not considered hara. That's not a psak. You know what that's called? It's called Beis Din made a mistake. But in other words, there's a psak and there's a mistake. Now, this part's a little bit tricky. Meaning, an erroneous psak is also a mistake, right? When Beis Din said the chalev is mutter, isn't that a mistake? So here, we're going to finesse this point, but it's an important point. And that is, yes, it's a mistake, but it's still a psak. Meaning, arguments can be made. Now, the case of chalev being mutter, I don't know. I have to be a little bit more creative. I don't right now currently have the creativity to explain to you why they would think otherwise, why they would think that chalev is mutter. But in other words, but within the corpus of Torah, so arguments can be made. Now, again, what argument are you going to make that chalev is mutter? I'm unsure. But in other words, but if it was a deliberation, and in the deliberation they came up with an incorrect psak, that's called a hora. But to say the Shabbos is over because the sun set, and meanwhile the sun didn't set, and they got it wrong. They got the facts wrong. That's not a hora. That's called a tos. So, over here in our discussion, when the witness comes and says that her husband died. And Beis Din now issues a ruling. So it's one of two things. Either it's a hora'a or it's a tos. So what Ziri wants to argue is that our Mishnah calls it a hora'a, but the Brisa calls it a tos. because the Braisa sees it analogous to based on saying that Shabbos ended when meanwhile the sun didn't set yet. Okay, so Rav Nachman Amar, that's all Ziri. Rav Nachman Amar Harahi. Rav Nachman's of the position that this is called Hora'ah. It's a ruling. So I'm Rav Nachman Teda Darahi. So Rav Nachman says, look, our case over here is a ruling. It's not an incorrect fact, although it is, but it's a ruling. How do I know that? Because consider the following. So because generally speaking, are we ready to listen to one witness? Of course the answer is no. Meaning this is, we are in a rare space in halacha where we're going to accept the credibility of one witness. Fine. So my time, alamishum darahi. So in other words, so how are we listening to one witness? Oh, because it is the one witness coupled with the ruling of Beis Din. Meaning it's not the one witness. The one witness is certainly providing information, but her allowance to get remarried is a predicate of the ruling of Beis Din. So Rava says, what are you talking about? I'm going to argue in the other direction. It's not a ruling, it's a mistake. Because consider the following. Let's say Beis Din came along one day and said, you know what? Chelev is mutter, dam is mutter. Again, how did they arrive at that conclusion? These are pretty straightforward issues. This is where I need to be a little more creative. I'm just not creative enough. Okay, so it's on me. But in other words, they issued a ruling that chelev and dam are mutter. V'hadr chazur time l'isurei. And then afterwards they said, oh no, you know what? What we said was wrong. Meaning we issued a wrong ruling. We said that chelev and dam are actually aser. Ki hadr am le'etera l'mishkachina lehu. And then, at a later point in time, when they say that dam and chelev are mutter, so we're not going to be listening to them. V'ilu hecha, meaning something that is based on a ruling. Meaning, once they correct the ruling, so that's it. Meaning, the ruling has been corrected. In other words, they can't go back and forth and back and forth if we're not talking about facts, we're just talking about hora'ah. But let's consider the following over here. One witness came and said what? Husband died. Sharina. So what we're going to do now is they're going to allow her to remarry. Asutre. Two witnesses come and said, didn't die. We saw him, he's alive. In other words, and obviously they checked their dates in terms of when they saw them, and the two witnesses saw him alive at a later point in time. Okay, so Asarna. So then, obviously, now what Beis Din's going to have to do, obviously, is change the ruling. Now, when another witness comes subsequently and says that he died, so we're going to allow her to get remarried. My time, Allah, Mishum Tatawasu. In other words, this is just simply, give me the facts. Over here, it's a function of facts. It's not a function of hora. So Rava wants to argue that this is not an issue of hara. This is just an issue of what are the facts. And so Rava's of the position that this doesn't fall under the category of hara, but this falls under the category of just simply taos. It's a mistake. Okay, so this is a tough sugya over here, where what we are discussing and deliberating is that when the one witness comes and said that her husband died and based in issues, what is based in issuing? Are they just validating a fact or are they issuing a ruling? Okay. And the Gemara literally has just gone back and forth between the Amoraim in terms of how to properly define what has just happened over here. V'af Rebbe Elazar Savar D'Taosu. Rebbe Elazar is of the position that it's a taos, meaning all Beis Din is doing is just fact finding over here. This is not a hora'ah. This is not based on any kind of argumentation. It's just simply a fact. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Amar Yikov Adina Sahar V'Tavichat Hashmeina. So, literally, the law is going to go right through the mountain, pierce the mountain, and she's going to have to bring a Chata Shmeina. She's going to have to bring a fat carbon Chatas. So, Iyamar B'Shalma De Tausu Mishim Hachimasi Carbon. Okay, if we're talking about Taus over here, so then that's why she has to bring a carbon Chatas. Again, the correlation, right, this is an important point, and we went over this at the beginning of the Sugya, but to review, If what you're doing is following Beis Din, you don't have to bring a carbon chatas. If, however, we're just fact-finding and the facts were just simply wrong, you have to bring a carbon chatas. Rabbi Elazar says you have to bring, this woman in this case has to bring a carbon chatas. Eliyah Mard Horahi, but if we're talking about a ruling, so am I Masi carbon? So why would you have to bring a carbon? Vidilma, the Gemara says, I don't know, maybe we can argue. Vidilma, because of Rabbi Elazar, Yachid Shasabaraz, Beis Din Chayev. I don't know. Maybe Rebbe Loss is of the position that when an individual follows the Haraz Beis Din, you have to bring a carbon. Meaning maybe he fundamentally disagrees with our entire premise. So the Gemara says it's not true. Imkein ma yikov hadin esahar. So the Gemara says no, because look at the expression that he used. Yikov hadin esahar. Meaning, the facts over here are gonna make their way through the mountain, right? The din is gonna cut through the mountain. Meaning that this is just a question of facts. And when it's a question of facts, and if Beis Din get it wrong. If this is just a matter of facts and Beis Din got the facts wrong, so then she has to bring a carbon chatas. Okay, Alan, we'll for sure discuss more later. Okay, horo Beis Din lehi nase. Okay, hopefully that's better. Looks better. Okay. Horo Beis Din lehi nase. Beis Din allows her to get married. My kalkula. Okay. One more point before we get to the Mishnah, and that's the following. We are now all the way at the tail end of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah. Horo Beis Din lehi nase. Beis Din allowed her to get married. V'halcha v'kalkula. And then what she does is she does bad things. Okay. Right. That's not a great way to describe a Mishnah. V'kalkula. She does bad things. But anyway, that's why we have a Gemara. Gemara is going to explain that word of the Mishnah. Now she has to bring a carbon. Meaning, in our Mishnah's viewpoint, if she married a man like Beis Din allowed her to do, she doesn't have to bring a carbon. Again, we just got done discussing in the Gemara, is everyone on board with that? Not everyone's on board with that. Fine. Our Mishnah's position is really clear. She doesn't have to bring a carbon, because that's Haraz Beis Din. But let's say Beis Din said the following. You know what? You're free to marry. And then what she does is, she does something wrong. Or again, what that wrong thing she did is, we're going to clarify. So at that point in time, now she has to bring a carbon. And the basic idea of the Mishnah, which now, when I read the Mishnah, we didn't explain this well, but now we're going to explain it better. And the basic idea is, Beis Din allowed her to marry another man. Beis Din didn't allow her to make mistakes. Now, what kind of mistakes are we talking about? Now, Gemara discusses. So, my kilkala, Rabbi Elazar Omer Zinsa. So Rabbi Elazar says she was Mazana. Meaning, what did Beis Din say to her? Okay, you're free. So what does she do? She doesn't marry another man. She sleeps with other men without marriage. Okay. So for that, meaning, and presumably, and her husband came back, so then our Mishnah would say, now you have to bring a carbon. Because the allowance was to marry another man. The allowance was not to sleep with other men. And Rav Yochanan Amar Aman LeKohen Gadol Grusha VeChalutz LeKohen Hedyot. And Rav Yochanan says, No. That's not the Pshat in the Mishnah. Pshat in the Mishnah is that let's say she was a divorcee. Obviously from a previous marriage. Okay, talk about a woman who's lived. Okay, she divorced from a previous marriage, now presumably a widow from this marriage. Okay, anyway. So, and then she goes ahead. So Beis Din said to her, okay, you are now a widow. And even though it's one witness, but you're now a widow. And what does she do? She marries a Kohen. Oh, but she's a divorcee from a previous marriage. Okay, so at that point in time, so the Mishnah says, if she would have married somebody that she could marry, she's allowed to marry, she doesn't have to bring a carbon chatas. But now that she went ahead and married somebody she was forbidden to marry, now she has to bring a carbon chatas. So mandamer zinsa kol shekein aman lekohen gadol. Now, if you took the former position, you of course agreed to the latter position. Meaning, if your carbon chatas liability is when you sleep with another man, certainly it will... It will be there when you are marrying someone you're not allowed to marry. So, in other words, that's a more egregious error. Don't get me wrong; sleeping with other men is also egregious. But in other words, but you didn't take your license to get married and marry somebody that you're not allowed to marry. So, aman damra aman lekohen gadol aval zin solo. My tam adamra atonu deshavisa penuya. However, if let's say Beis Din gave her a license to remarry. And with that license now, she slept with other men. She doesn't have to bring a carbon chatas, according to the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Why? Because her argument is, and again, this is a argument to just simply relieve her from the carbon chatas. This is not a legitimate argument in of itself. I'm trying to be as clear as possible. Okay, the argument is, look, what did you effectively tell me? You told me I'm a single woman. Okay, so I make a couple of poor choices in life. I don't have to bring a carbon chattas for making poor choices in life. Okay. Again, it's out of context, that's a really funny argument. But in context, we're just talking about whether or not she has to bring a carbon chattas. Tanya Kavase de Rav Yochanan, oddly enough, the brisa supports Rav Yochanan. Meaning, Beis Din issued a license for her to get remarried. And then what she does is, she's mekalkel. So again, two explanations in our Gemara, what does that mean? Either it means that she just simply slept with another man, or she married somebody she was not lawfully allowed to marry. So, we have a brisa now supporting the latter viewpoint. The brisa says, Tanya Kavase de Rav Yochanan, Haru based in Lina Savalcha Vikokalakagon Aman Lakoin God of Gushach Lutz the Kohen Ejot, Chayevis Bekarban, Al Kol Bia Ubia Divir, Rebbe Lazar. So here in the Brisa says, what did she do with a license to get remarried? She married somebody she wasn't allowed to marry. She's a Grusha, she married a Kohen. Okay. So now she has to bring a Karban Chatas. Okay. In other words, abusing that license. Totally abusing that license. And over here in the Brisa, meaning the one thing that we got clear in the Brisa is, what was her abuse of the license? She married somebody she was not allowed to marry. Then in the Brisa, then a technical question of how many carbon chattases does she need to bring? So according to Rabbi Eliezer, I'll call B.O.B.A., this is a carbon chattas discussion in terms of you repeat an Avera, but with the same person. So Rabbi Lazar says, for every B.O., you have to bring another carbon chattas. And the Chachamim say, no, it's one carbon for even multiple acts. In other words, the general rule is that when you repeat an Avera, Behalam Echad, you chayev one carbon chattas. Umodim Chacham L'Rav Lazar Shim Nisus HaChamesha B'nei Adam Shechayev Es B'Karbon Al Chol Echad V'Echad Al Hol V'Guf V'Muchlakim. And then again, this is just a detail in carbon chattas land, and that is that let's say you repeat the Avera, but with different people. So with her license to get remarried, she ends up marrying five different men. Obviously not at the same time. In other words, she's just jumping from one man to another man. Okay. Anyway, whatever. The point over here is that since it's gufim muchlakim, so therefore you're chayav a carbon chattas on each one of those men, even though it's quote unquote repeated act, but it's a repeated act. It's the same avera with different men. So therefore, five carbon chattas. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the first mishnah of our 10th perek. Okay. So it's been a while. Pei Zayin all the way to where we are right now in Sadi Beis. So nearly five blot of Gemara, but obviously a really sensitive and delicate issue about a woman who whose husband disappeared, and at what point in time is in fact she allowed to remarry. So Eid Echad is going to have credibility, but it's Eid Echad coupled with a Haraz Beis Din, and then a really long discussion, an important discussion, and some right delicate issues regarding her ability and her license to go ahead and to remarry. Ha'isha, let's start the next Mishnah. Okay, I'm looking at the time also. Ha'isha shehalach ba'alo v'nala medina sayam. So you have a woman, where her husband and her son went off, and now. So the Mishnahs over here from this point going forward are going to be discussing cases similar to our Mishnah, but you'll see with some oddities, a couple of twists. So over here, her husband went away together with her son, or her only son. You'll see why I say that. Unfortunately, they both died. Order of death is going to be critical over here. Because if the son died first and then the husband, so now what are we talking about? Yibum. Because her husband died childless. If the husband died and then the son died, so the husband did not die childless. Now, granted that the son died, but as long as the husband died with a child at the time of his death, there's no longer a mitzvah of yibum. So the order of death now becomes critical. And so the way it was reported to her is meis ba'alech v'achar kach meis b'nech. So your husband died and then your son died. So right now she's thinking, no yibum. If the child predeceases the father, so then there is a mitzvah of yibum. Right? In other words, the mitzvah of yibum is all going to be freeze-framed at the time of the death of the father. In other words, if he wasn't a father, even though historically he had a child, but the child predeceased the father, So that's considered a Yibum scenario. Yeah. I agree with you, by the way. In other words, had I not known the Mishnah, right, I would have entertained your thought. In other words, he had a child. But in other words, the halacha looks at it at the time of his death. So now, unfortunately, she got most of the story right, but with an important detail that got wrong. And that was the order of the death. In other words, it was not child then father. It was father then child. So that means to say, it was a son, then the father that died. So that means to say that there was Yibum. Teitze, the Havlad Rishon V'Acharon Mamzer. So what she has to do now, in other words, she is a Yavama. Again, we're talking now where she's quasi-married to her brother-in-law, Yibum, and she was with another man. And she produced a child with another man. So, this is a quasi-adultery, like we discussed in our first Mishnah. And the child is going to be a mamzer. The child that she produces subsequently is going to be a mamzer. That child is a mamzer. Is that, are we talking about Nisuri Karis over here? Hold that thought. We're not. We're not talking about Nisuri Karis. Meanwhile, the Mishnah says the child is a mamzer. Hold that thought. Amr le meis benech v'achakach meis balech. Okay. She was told that first the child died, then the husband died. She thinks she's a Yavama. She does the mitzvah of Yibum to her brother-in-law. And then what turns out is that the information that came to her was crossed, meaning it was the opposite, and meaning that there was no mitzvah of Yibum. So over here, the subsequent child that's produced is going to be a mamzer. Now over here, right, everyone agrees that this child is going to be a mamzer, meaning there's no debate to be had. Why? Because she's producing a child with her brother-in-law. In the absence of Yibum, that's Arayus. That's an Erev on the Torah. Child is going to be a mamzer. Amrula meis balech v'nisis v'achakach amrula kayam. Haya umeis. Teitze v'avlad rishon mamzer v'acharon in a mamzer. So let's say that that was reported to her that her husband died. And then she gets married, producing a child. Then afterwards, let's assume two witnesses came. The Mishnah's not clear about this, but let's assume. Two witnesses came and said, nope, he did not die. He was alive at the time when you, quote unquote, remarried and had another child. And then afterwards, subsequent to that, he actually died. So, teitzev avlad rishon mamzer v'acharon in a mamzer. So, a child produced while she received the false reporting, so the child is going to be a mamzer. If after the actual death of her husband, she produces another child, right, presumably with another man, so then the child is not going to be a mamzer. Amrullah meis balech v'niskash v'achar kach ba'ala. Okay. She got reporting that her husband died. She accepted kiddushin from another man. And then her husband comes back. Muteris lach zor lo. Afa pishinasan lo achron get lo pasal menekahuna. So, she can go back to her original husband. She didn't sleep with this other man, meaning it's only quasi-adultery when she sleeps with the other man. All she did was accept kiddushin from the other man. But in other words, a married woman accepting kiddushin from another man, halachically, is zero. It's nothing. Furthermore, said the Mishnah, let's say that this man who was mekadesher gave her a get. Halachically, what is that get? It's nothing. It's a piece of paper. Meaning the money that he gave her as kiddushin has no effect whatsoever because she's married. The get that he issues her also will have no effect because she's married. In fact, when Rav Elazar ben Maaseh gets to the pasuk in Parsha Zemor, a woman who's divorced from her husband, meaning the divorce would only have validity and effect only when it comes from her husband. Stam, a man gives her a divorce, it's nothing. And he understands that it's talking about this particular context right over here. Okay. We'll do a little bit of Gemara today, just so I don't fall further behind. And tomorrow tomorrow's a shorter daf. I'll look to catch up tomorrow. Okay, so the Gemara. My Rishon, my Acharon. So, Ilem Rishon, Lifnei Shmo, V'Acharon, La'Achar Shmo, Lifnei Avlad Mamzer. So, the language of the Mishnah in the first case is a little bit off. It's just a little bit off. Meaning, the Mishnah says that where her husband and her son went away, and reporting came that her husband died and then her son died, and then it turns out to be the opposite. So she has to excuse herself from this second man. And Rishon v'acharon mamzer. Rishon v'acharon, just simply say, Avlad mamzer. So the Gemara says, Mishum dekabai lemesa seifa, amru la meis balech, v'nisis v'achar kach, amru le kayem haya umeis arishon, mamzer v'acharon, eno mamzer, tananami resha, Rishon v'acharon mamzer. Okay. So the Gemara just simply says that, yes, the language in the first case of the Mishnah is a little bit off. Rishon, acharon, meaning it's one man and one child. So why does the Mishnah use the languages of Rishon Acharon? Because since in the Sefer we use the language of Rishon Acharon, so we use in the Sefer and we use in the Resha as well. Again, a point that we make time and again throughout Shas, and that is at the Mishnayos, sometimes the wording of the Mishnayos is a little bit off, but to keep a pattern and symmetry in the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah is almost like poetic in nature. It was meant to be memorized. It was meant to be committed to memory. And so therefore, if there's more like a sing-song refrain to the Mishnah, so even though the wording is a little bit strange, but okay, it's a style of the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan. Zu de Rabbi Kiva. So now what we're looking at is the first case of our Mishnah. In the first case of the Mishnah, she thought she wasn't a Yavam, and meanwhile, she got wrong information. Meaning it wasn't that first her husband died, then her son died, and she thought she wasn't a Yavam, but rather just the opposite. And what happened is she was with another man, she married another man, and she produced a child. The Mishnah says the child is a mamzer. Now, on that first case of the Mishnah, so what did I say? I said, hold that thought. Okay, now, take it off hold. Now we're coming back. Zu divrei Rabbi Akiva, shayor main kedushin tofsin b'chai v'lavin. Ava chachama marmei main mamzer miyavama. No. So, our Mishnah over here is a point of contention. A point of contention that we've discussed numerous times in our Masechta. Meaning Rabbi Akiva says that what produces a mamzer? Chai v'lavin, produce a mamzer. Because there's no tfisas kedushin by chai v'lavin. The yavama marrying another man, that's chai v'lavin. And so therefore she produces a child with another man as a yavama, so the child is going to be a mamzer. Good, that shita's Rabbi Akiva. But the chachamim say, no, the child's not a mamzer. Okay, in other words, we go back to the Mishnah Memtes. This is all but just a review of what we did back on Memtes. V'leimayin mamzer mechai v'lavin. So the Gemara says, okay, just tell me that there's no mamzer from chai v'lavin, meaning say it to me simply. So the Gemara says, Haitana hachtana de Rabbi Akiva, damar mechai v'lavin, de she'er, have a mamzer mechai v'lavin, great Allah, have a mamzer. So the Gemara says, because whoever this Tana is, subscribes to one viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Again, I'm not going to do the whole review over here, but go back to Memtes, Ahmed Aleph, and how many versions of Rabbi Akiva are there? If you remember correctly, if you remember well, three versions of Rabbi Akiva. Right, whether it's Chai V'Lavin D'She'er, Kol Chai V'Lavin, or even Chai V'Lavin of an Aseh, okay, right, Mitzri, right, Besula. So go all the way back to Memtes, and you'll see three different versions of Rabbi Akiva. So the reason why the Tana over here did not just simply say Kol Chai V'Lavin, right, Ein Mamzer Mechai V'Lavin, is because our Tana subscribes only to the one version of Rabbi Akiva, notably the version of She'er. Okay, I know I didn't explain that really well, but meanwhile, it's a technical point in terms of why the Braisa used the language in which it did. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Minayin she'en kedushin tofsin b'yavama. How do I know that there's no tfisas kedushin by a yavama? You try to be mekadosh a yavama, it simply doesn't take effect. She'nemar, lo siya ish eshes meis, hachutza li'ish zar. Lo teheba havaya lazar. So according to Rav, there's no tfisas kedushin by yavama, meaning somebody else tries to be mekadisher. She accepts the kedushin. Did it take hold? So Rav's of the position, no. Now, despite the fact that this is only a lav, and generally speaking, we say there is tfisas kedushin by a lav. Over here, gzeiras hakasav. The pasuk says lo siya. Every time you see the word havaya, that is a comment regarding her ability to be mekadesh. So, according to Rav, there's no tefisas kedusha by Yavama. Shmuel Amar ban Yosef Nitzricha get. Mesafke le Shmuel hai lo siya eshes ames ila lav hu da'asa, I de lo tafsi ba kedushin hu da'asa. As far as Shmuel's concerned, uncertain, unclear, in terms of whether or not the pasuk is telling me that it's just simply violating a law for her to accept kedushin from another man, or it simply doesn't take effect, it doesn't take hold. Shmuel says, "Be'ani Yusenu." in our state of poverty, meaning we simply don't know. We don't know what the correct pshat is. Meaning, despite the fact that Rav himself had clarity on it, Shmuel says, no, we don't have clarity on it. Our Masorah is, we're not sure. It's a funny Masorah, but we're simply not sure. And so therefore, if a Yavama accepts Kedushin from a man, from another man, so did it take effect? Shmuel says, don't know. Therefore, a get's going to be required. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point in time. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Our first discussion, a conclusion of yesterday's daf regarding a woman who is remarried based on the testimony of two witnesses. And can she return back to her original husband after her original husband returned? Despite the fact that it's not just reporting. Two witnesses said that that he died and then he comes back. So can she return back to her original husband? So this is a really difficult discussion. The Mishnah says yes. Rav said yes. And Rav Papa was unsure. It was unsure. Predicated on the fact that five times in Gittin did we say that she has a certain amount of responsibility that she needs to share in making sure that she is in fact a free woman and an available woman to marry another man. Okay. Is Gittin similar to our discussion over here? Rav Papa was not sure. Rav Papa answered up a number of times, but he was unsure. And that's how the Gemara ended off that discussion. Next, a woman after being told by Beis Din, that she can remarry. In other words, there was one witness who said that her husband died and she remarried. And after her marriage, rumors started surfacing and circulating. So what do you do with rumors post her marriage? Ignore the rumors. Good. Next, Karban Chatas, right? A big discussion on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph. Okay, the woman who remarries, based on the testimony of one witness, and then her husband resurfaces. So, does she have to bring a Karban Chatas? So the Mishnah said no. And a discussion in our Gemara here on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph in Yevamos, Machlokas between Ze'iri and Rav Nachman, when Beis Din tells her that she can remarry, are they issuing a fact or are they issuing a horah? And the difference is going to be is that if they're issuing a fact, well, they got the facts wrong, but in other words, it's the liability of her Karban Chatas now falls on her and she's going to have to bring a Karban Chatas. If they're issuing a horah, so you bring a Karban, but only for the Tzibor following a erroneous ruling of the Beis Din. Over here, it's a Yachid. She does not have to bring a Karban. And the question now becomes, over here, when Beis Din tells her she can remarry, are they stating a fact, or are they just stating or does it fall into the category of a ruling? Okay? Obviously, it's a really important distinction, and I'm not sure if I did a wonderful job articulating what exactly the difference is, but that's a debate. And then the last issue that we discussed goes back to our Mishnah. Let's say she gets licensed to remarry, meaning one witness told her that she can remarry. Beis Din gave her a license to remarry, and she abused that license. She did bad things. So the Mishnah says that she has to bring a Karban Chatas. Now she has to bring a Karban Chatas because she abused her privilege. What falls under the category of abuse of privilege? Machlokis amongst the Amoraim. One opinion is that she just simply slept with other men, and another opinion is no, she did more than sleep with another man. That in of itself already is pretty abusive. But the other opinion is no, that she married somebody she wasn't allowed to marry. Okay. And then a detailed discussion regarding how many Karban Chatas she needs to bring. Okay. Then, we did the Mishnah on Sadi Beis Amid Aleph where, more bad reporting coming from across lands. In this next Mishnah that we did, the second Mishnah here in our Perek. So a discussion regarding it was her husband and her son. And then, what happened was that most of the information coming back was good, but they died in which order? So that didn't come back correctly. And then only later to be clarified. And that's going to lead to serious problems. Because if her husband died, then followed by her son, so then she is she's not a Yavama. She can marry whoever she wants. And when later it's discovered that it was just the opposite, so now that was a Yavama who married somebody she's not allowed to marry. The child is a mamzer, but as we just got done discussing in the Gemara, only according to Rabbi Kiva, we don't pass on like Rabbi Kiva. Okay. In the alternative, where she hears that it was her son died and then her husband died. Now she's a Yavama, or at least she thinks she's a Yavama. She marries her brother-in-law, produces a child, and then Rachmanus, the correction comes, where she wasn't a Yavama. Now the child is a mamzer. She produced a child with her brother-in-law in the absence of the mitzvah of Yibum. That's Arayus. And then the child is a mamzer. If, let's say she only received kedushin from another man, but she didn't sleep with the other man, so then under all circumstances, she can go back to her original husband. Because she, in other words, that wasn't quasi-adultery. She didn't sleep with the other man. Furthermore, if that other man also issued her a get, that get also has no significance whatsoever. If subsequently she actually becomes a widow, she can marry a Kohen. Okay. And then the discussion that we started with is the Yavama who accepts Kedushin from another man. Is there Tfisa's Kedushin? Rav says no. Shmuel says I'm unsure. And that's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow.